It's episode. I still don't remember. Fuck, what?
355.
It's episode 355 of The Backwash.
Oh my God, kids are disgusting.
Yes, they are.
Talk about the nasty things they put in their mouth.
And they're chaotic.
And then Emily confirms the TSA had it out for the BB family.
Can you blame them? It's The Backwash.
Mission has terminated. Now, it's time for an exclusive after-show podcast. The DSC presents The Backwash Podcast.
We have entered a horrible phase.
What's that?
Is this at your home, at work, or?
No, it is a kid phase that they go through. And right now...
Which kid is in it?
Curran.
Oh, my. Now, wait a minute. He's the perfect one. He's the anointed saint.
He still is.
He's the glory. There is a shine and a sheen on his skin and a little outline of a cherubic blossom of sunshine behind him when he stands in the hallway.
I know, but he's gross now. Oh. He's doing the gross thing where he likes to lick public things.
Oh my God.
It's so freaking disgusting. And I noticed this on our flight to Hawaii.
Now, how old is he?
He's four.
Okay.
And so it started. We were at the airport. That one we had plenty of time. And we're sitting in our seats waiting. And we were sitting on a seat right next to a window. And I just look over and I see him licking the window at the airport.
Which, like, by the way, is good advice. No matter your age, never touch the window at the airport.
Never.
Because some kid licked it.
And so I, you know, died. And I was like, oh my God, stop. And then we got on the plane. And then he decided to lick the armrest of the plane. Not one time, but two times that I saw. And then last night, we were at hockey. And there is a place in the hockey rink where right up next to the plexiglass is the floor kind of starts to ramp up a little bit. So it's almost like a wheelchair ramp. And on the same side of the hockey wall in the glass, there
is... This is on the paying customer side or the player side?
No, it's the view area.
Okay, so it's the customer side, right? The audience, it's where you sit?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a railing there as well. And he likes to sit on that railing all the time and, like, be up against the glass. And it's also, you know, we go up there, too. And it goes on for a while. So parents are up there and they bang on the plexiglass and all that stuff. And he's sitting there. And then he starts licking the plexiglass.
Oh,
oh my God. It's his, okay, this is a new thing. This is a new, disgusting thing.
He's going to make some girl very happy.
Oh, no. No, not where I thought this would go.
He won't even ask her to shower first.
Ew, where?
They're going to spend the weekend in the desert. It's going to be the gritty kitty, and he's just going to...
Oh, like, you're so disgusting.
Wow.
I know. I know. It's so disgusting.
Do you know what I would do, or do you just want to vent?
Well, did you ever go through this? Did Cole ever lick things? Because, I mean, I remember my kid went through biting a thing, and I remember you had said, did Cole go through that when he was very young, biting thing?
Yeah,
and I was like,
but
yes.
All mouth stuff. All mouth stuff is seeking sensory input.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So get him a damn chew toy or gum. Just keep his mouth occupied with anything but random surfaces.
You know what he does with gum? Hmm. He takes two chews, and he's like, okay, I'm done.
So try a sensory necklace.
Ah.
They have ones like that look like shark tooth.
No way, teeth. Really?
They have Spider-Man ones. They have Legos. They have all different kinds. Amazon, you can get it quick, I'm sure. Even maybe Geppetto's or something has them in stock. Maybe even Target at this point. I feel like sensory toys are becoming more whatever. But you can make it like this cool thing he gets to wear. And then just tell him, hey, if you want to lick something, lick your necklace.
Okay.
So
I had no idea that existed.
He's got this spitty thing around his neck.
Better than licking the germs that are, you know, and leaving licks behind for other people. And they'll outgrow it eventually. But he is seeking that oral input. And so you have to give him an alternative.
Didn't he have a pacifier?
No, actually, he wasn't a pacifier kid. He never really got into that.
At four, that would be frowned upon anyway.
Yeah, that was...
Well, I'm sure it would, but You would think that would be over by the time he got rid of the pacifier, but I guess not.
Yeah, he was never a pacifier kid.
Colton
he
never wanted a pacifier.
Yeah.
Really?
And yeah, so like Emily said, it's a phase. I'm not worried about it, but it's I'm not worried about it lasting.
But it's gross.
Disgusting. Yeah.
And you don't want to go in icky germs and picking up something and
all of that. He's gonna get all the germs. Mm-hmm. Everything.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So
so gross.
We or like have the
little.
Here.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
We also keep on stock at home the little, and I'm not saying this to use your bad word, but little dum-dums like this.
Yeah.
I constantly have them with me.
Yeah.
Because it just, Colt still basically always needs something in his mouth.
Mm-hmm. That is perfect.
So if it's not gum or the sucker or the toy, you know, it just, we know he needs something in his mouth.
I didn't think of that. I see as an oral fixation, I wouldn't have gone that way. So that's
well, it's exploring taste. It's, you know, just figuring out his body is like, oh, his mouth is learning what it's all about and what it's for.
How about a cigarette?
And learning about textures and things like that. So maybe giving him things he can explore safely at home. Also, you know, like, hey, if you ever wonder what that cup, you know, feels like on your tongue, you can try it here at the house while it's clean and safe or whatever. You know,
Skull Bandit. Like,
okay, boy, you're not freaking helping. God. Is your job just to derail today?
Yes. We had a guy here in the building who used to put pens in his mouth.
Why are you pretending we don't all know it's Bromo?
It's a Bromowitz.
What the hell?
I would get a brand new Sharpie out of requisition from supply, and I'd walk into my desk before the end or just at the end of the show, and the goddamn cap was destroyed.
Yeah, he may never outgrow it, actually.
Yeah, and this guy was in his 40s when he was here doing this. So it may be a lifelong thing. You try to discourage that. And I asked nicely, I said, please don't do that. Oh, it's not your pen. Fuck you. Whatever. It's not your pen. Please don't do that. I don't want to touch a thing that's been in any of the holes of your body, especially not your mouth. Please don't do that. Whatever. Okay. So this was my solution, and this might work for your child.
Oh, Sarah. Absolutely not.
I went to the pet store, and I found a training aid that people use with dogs. The generic term is Bitter Apple, and the brand name is Fooey. And it has a picture of a dog with his tongue out and a lot of saliva splashing around. And I sprayed it on the pens, thinking this would break him of the habit. So just for my own testing, I washed a pen at my home, and I sprayed it down. I let it dry, and I touched it to my tongue for just a split second. And I wanted to vomit for about the next half hour. If you've ever seen a Three Stooges thing where they're making a soup or something, and this glass bottle full of stuff that says alum, A-L-U-M, on the front drops, and it falls in mysteriously, and it gets swished into the soup, and then they drink the soup, and their jaws just suck in like they're in a giant vacuum. And you think, that's terrible. That's exactly what this is like. So I brought the Fooey into work, and I got new pens in my pen drawer, opened the drawer, and just gave a shk, 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 three sprays, and closed it back, and went about my day. At about 9:15, we got a phone call that Dave took on the air, and Abramowitz is screaming furious, what did you do to those pens? What did you do to those pens? I said, I warned you. I told you. Don't bite them. What did you do to those pens? I said, I took them home all weekend, and I stuffed them up my dog's asshole and made her walk around like a bank pen caddy. And that's what you got. He goes, I don't know what you're feeding her, but that stuff's awful. So, but it broke him of the habit.
Well, unfortunately, this is anything in the public place that he decides to lick, so I don't know when he's going to strike, so I can't pre-plan that. But
just carry it with you. When you see him start to bite the rail, just shh, there you go. And then that takes that right out of his domain.
Ugh.
It will work, I promise. I'll bet I have some at home.
No, I don't want it.
You sure?
From 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's expired too. God.
How does it go bad? It can't go bad. It's already bad. It will really, really, I promise you.
No. I don't want it. And that is the name for, that is the nickname for my new kids, by the way. The Three Stooges. It's the old, they're fucking morons. Like, no matter what, we decided that on the Hawaii trip. Like, oh my God, trying to go anywhere with the Three Stooges. Mm-hmm. Disaster. Just don't do it.
Now, you're a girl. Do you like the Stooges?
I have seen the Stooges in my life. It's not something I stop and watch if it's on, but I am familiar with it a little bit. I did not even know about Shemp until I came to this show. You know, because I guess I had only seen the ones after him. Because he was like the original, right?
Larry, Curly, and Moe, and then Shemp, I think, came in after Curly. I think that was the way it worked.
Okay, then never mind. Okay, I just...
You're a boy, shouldn't you know?
Should
I
get
should.
Okay.
I should.
Huh. Well, then I guess I only saw the earlier ones. Yeah, I suppose my mom had it on once in a while.
Oh, you live in Los Angeles, correct?
No. Incorrect.
Orange County?
Yes.
Channel 5 ran the Stooges Saturdays and Sundays for a good couple of hours. It was a magnificent television.
Yeah, I don't know. I never stopped and, got into it. I'm familiar with it.
A couple of Stooges we don't talk about. Joe Besser and Curly Joe Derita. They don't, No. Just know they should have stopped. But the four are glorious. Especially, Shemp invented a fountain pen that wrote under whipped cream. That's brilliance right there. That's genius. Anyway, I encourage the ladies to watch The Stooges, but I think it's fantastic that you've crowned your family with that.
I feel bad for her.
Yeah, no, it's like a curse.
That she feels like her family is the Three Stooges. How is that a good thing?
Because guys have a good feeling about The Stooges.
Because they like to laugh at them. They don't want to be them. They want something to laugh at.
They weren't malicious in their stupidity. They were just sort of impaired.
Maddening. It's maddening trying to deal with them or trying to work with them or live with them or whatever. You wouldn't want to. It's like all the four people on Seinfeld. They're amazing to watch, but you don't want to be friends with those people. They're horrible, but they're amazing to watch. Same with the Three Stooges. You don't want to live with them. You don't want them to be your family.
Now, what about Chip? Is he one of the Stooges as
Shemp?
Well?
No.
Is he Shemp? Yeah.
No. No, he is not. It's just the three of them together, and they're just horrible little humans.
Because he was the one trying to sneak contraband onto the jet plane, right?
What? Oh, honey.
Yeah. Darling.
Jesus.
No. Yeah.
He had honey and
Shane had Play-Doh.
Play-Doh.
Like Play-Doh.
Yeah.
I really thought Play-Doh was allowed, honestly. I thought it was something kids brought on the plane to pass the time. Yeah, so I was surprised by that one.
It could be plastique. I don't know if you've ever seen the thing that Bill Murray used to blow up the gopher in Caddyshack, but it was a plastic-like explosive that very much resembled Play-Doh. So I can totally understand why.
It was weird. No, because it was the same airline. We had Play-Doh going out to Hawaii. We had it on the plane and we did art with it. Like, we made creatures with it. But on the way back,
the ruckus that you guys caused, and they're like, we're not letting anything through with these guys.
It might have been. We just might have red flagged ourselves.
Right. Yeah. If you'd been under the radar, they might not have cared.
Was it sealed on the way out and open on the way back?
Shane's was sealed. We used Summer's on the way there. Shane had one too, but his was sealed. Yeah, and so was the honey, and it was like, oh, God, whatever, stupid fucking rules.
God, there are some things where you just have to resolve that it's the stupidest thing. I want to get to my destination. I guess I'm going to have to do it.
Yeah, no, and Chip was like, as soon as they pulled it, he's like, oh, my God, just throw it away. He wasn't even trying to fight them. As soon as they pulled out that's what flagged them, he's like, please just toss it. I don't even care. He just didn't think that honey, for some reason... Yeah, for both of us, it didn't pop up as like a liquid shampoo or what, makeup remover or whatever, or like ice contact solution. Those are all things we have little bottles of. I never thought a little jar of honey would even be on there. Now I know.
What about the strawberry love jelly? Did that?
But it's certainly not Play-Doh. I'm still completely perplexed by that, but whatever. Fuck it. God.
You made it on your flight.
Are you ever flying again?
Yes. That's the thing. They have, it's like, I can bitch about it all I want, but it's the only way to get to where I want to, these places I want to go.
God.
Well, but I don't normally have these issues. I don't normally have issues with TSA or ever. I've never missed a flight in my life. This was going to be the first one, I thought. I'm never late. I never have these issues. This was the first time. So it's not like it's a pattern or anything. And yes, I do hate flying, but I do have to fly once in a while.
TSA misses 70% of fake weapons. 70% when they're tested. But they're going to lock you down for the Play-Doh, baby. You're getting the cuffs.
I forgot that I had one of Chip's knives in my purse one time when I was going to Vegas. Because when we were first dating and all this stuff, and I would work early mornings, he gave me a knife in my bag. Like, I would ever pull it or stab someone, first of all.
Probably like, get turned on you.
I would never. Would you ever pull a knife on somebody if you think you're going to be attacked? I don't know that I could. I don't know. Anyways.
No, it'd be way too close a contact and need way too much force to be effective.
Yeah.
Like, give me mace, maybe, but yes. A knife? No.
Yes, knife is like, whoa, but he just wanted me to have it. So anyways, I forgot that I had it in my purse, and I went to Vegas, and it was only on the way home, leaving Vegas, when they stopped me at TSA, and they're like, do you have a knife in your purse, ma'am? I was like, no, what are you talking about? I'm like, oh my God, wait, I do. But I got through. And I went on the plane with a freaking knife.
On the way out, you did,
yes,
right?
And
yes. Then they caught you on the way back.
They did.
70%. Yeah. That's your tax dollars at work, ladies.
Yeah, they just hated you because according to TSA's website, Play-Doh's allowed on your carry-on.
Oh, my God! Oh. Those fuckers. I hated us, too. I'm not going to deny that.
The final decision rests with the TSA officer on whether it was allowed through the checkpoint.
I fucking knew it. Damn it.
Lucky they didn't ring you up.
You've been listening to the DSC Backwash Podcast. Uncut and uncensored. Exclusively online on 101.5kgb.com.